We are joined by our next speaker. His name is Michael Hinkson. He has been around the NFB now for many years and has served in many different capacities with different companies. But this time he is a spokesman for Independence Science, and he is here to talk about making science accessible. So Pam, if you can invite Mr. Hinkson to unmute.
All right. Finally, I got a request.
There you go.
And unmuted. That Denise person, she controls everything, you guys. What can I say? Telling you? Well, happy Halloween. I'm really honored to be here. It's been a while since I've visited the convention and had the opportunity to be part of a convention and be in Illinois. I was born in Chicago, so I still consider it one of my favorite places. And besides that, best pizza in the country. New York people would disagree, but best pizza in the country. So we only have a few minutes, but I want to talk about the concept of science. There are two issues that we as blind people face when it comes to being involved in science. One is getting solved a lot quicker than the other, which is kind of where I come in, but the other one I come into as well. The first issue is, as with me when I went to school, high school and college, I didn't really get to do much of any of the lab experiments. Why? Because I couldn't. I couldn't read instruments to get the data. I couldn't do the other things that would allow me to participate in experiments because the technology did not exist for me to do that. I couldn't read print back in the days that I went to school, but the technology has changed now with things like the KNFB Reader Mobile, and the technology has changed that allow me and other people who are blind to do science experiments, whether you're in high school or college or in the workforce. There is a product that was developed by Independence Science, and the website for that, and I'll type it in the chat room if I can when we're done here. It's called the Talking Lab Quest 2. It's a box, and the box has three different connectors on it into which you can plug in what are called sensors or probes. You can measure anything from voltage and current to temperature, to wind direction, to gas pressure in a tank, to pH, which is measuring the amount of acidity or base of a solution, and so many others. There's even one really expensive one that you could put on a table, build a bridge or the model of a bridge that you want to construct on top of it, and it will do a structure analysis to tell you whether the bridge is going to collapse and where and how. And the neat thing about it is all of those probes, because the Talking Lab Quest is accessible, it talks, they're accessible. So for the first time, we really have a technology that allows us to participate fully in doing laboratory experiments. And it makes a whole difference, because those of us who have been involved in chemistry or biology or physics or any of the other kinds of things that scientists and science students or STEM students in high school, the things that we want to do is to have the same fun and gain the same knowledge about doing experiments that other people do. The Talking Lab Quest 2 allows us to do that. And Denise, I will tell you, one of the things I would like to do is to get your help to meet and talk with the agency in Illinois so that we can work toward making the Lab Quest available to students around the state of Illinois. It's happening in other states. Nebraska just set up a program where the agency bought, I think, 45 or 48 of the Talking Lab Quests that they have available for students, and will provide them to students to be able to give them full access, which is what any rehabilitation agency and departments of education should do. So the technology exists, and again, the website, and as I said, I'll put it in the chat room, is www.independencescience.com. if you want to learn more about the technology and so on, you're also always welcome to contact me. The easiest address is the one that most everyone knows, which is mike@michaelhingson.com, mike@michaelhingson.com. So that's the first thing and the first big challenge that we face when it comes to STEM, the technology. But we're dealing with that, and we will continue to make more advances toward even better technologies in the world to make it even more easy for us to participate. The second problem is a different one. The second problem is the one that we all face all the time. That is to say, attitudes. I don't care what anyone says in the world. When it comes to blindness, scientists are as closed-minded as everyone else. The bottom line is, they don't think that blind people can do stuff simply because that's what society has taught them. And no matter how open-minded scientists are, on supposedly and on a number of subjects, they tend not to be overly open-minded when it comes to blindness. I was very fortunate to have an academic advisor when I was in college who has since become a Nobel laureate, Dr. Frederick Rhinus, the dean of the School of Physical Sciences. He was the person who discovered the subatomic particle, the neutrino. And he did that by working experiments in a diamond mine in South Africa, which put him a mile below the Earth. Won't go through all the physics of it, except to say that what he accomplished by being there was all the other typical particles that people might encounter, and light and other things like that didn't make it down into a diamond mine a mile deep. We had several conversations about blindness, and one of the things that he said to me was, he said, as far as I'm concerned, you can do the same things that everyone else can do. Oh yeah, you can't do the lab experiments, and I want to come back to that quickly in a moment, but he said, you can still be as much a scientist as anyone else. He said, look, I do a lot of experiments in those diamond mines, but the bottom line is I can't do them because I'm here with academic responsibilities. I instruct other people as to what I want them to do and how I want them to do it. And then they go off and collect the data and send it to me because I, as the lead scientist and the guy who's performing the experiments, really take the initiative to create the theories and use the data to draw conclusions. And I think Dr. Rhinus was absolutely correct in that, except for one small thing. And that is that in reality, he learned a lot of things by doing lab experiments. He learned how to do the things that he then was able to tell other people to do. He learned them in a way that traditionally has been unavailable to us until we had technology like the Talking Lab Quest, so that now we can do lab experiments. But the bottom line is that we do have that attitudinal challenge. When I was a student at UC Irvine getting my master's degree, I learned along the way from someone that there had been a letter put in my file by a professor, not one that I had, fortunately. And the letter said, no blind student could ever accomplish and gain the material necessary to obtain an advanced degree in physics. What a horrible attitude. As I said, I'm glad I never had that guy as a professor, because the bottom line is I got my master's degree, and that scientific training, although due to circumstances over time, I ended up not being in a formal scientific field, but in sales and marketing, but still doing science things like now helping independent science. The bottom line is I learned a lot. I learned how to focus on details, and I learned skills that I would never have learned if I hadn't gone through and gotten a science degree. So the bottom line is, no matter what you do with your life as you go forward, if you're in science and want to be there, you have that right. And by the way, you have a team behind you to help you. And I just came from the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut Student Division, where we talked about this. And what I said to them was, you have a team in the National Federation of the Blind. You don't have to do this alone. And in reality, no matter what you do, even if you go off and win a Supreme Court case, you can't say, really, I did it alone, because there are hundreds, thousands of blind people before you who accomplished the things that made it possible for you to then go do what you did. But in reality, probably there was a team behind you, or should be anyway. So if you ever face problems, whether it's in science or anywhere else, and you need to advocate, you need to go deal with legal issues, although filing lawsuits is and should be a last resort, you have the National Federation of the Blind as a solid team, philosophically, morally, and absolutely totally with you to help you in resolving whatever issues you have. And even if you don't have a problem, it's a great place to get encouragement and education, because lots of us have been involved in the sciences, and we can assist and give you a lot of information to help you develop the skills that you need. So Denise, I know we had just a short time. I don't know whether you want to take any questions, but when we're done here, before I leave, I will put in the chat room email addresses and contact information for me, and people are certainly welcome to contact me anytime. And I am always glad to help. I will return emails and have phone calls. And if you want to know about the Talking Lab Quest, we can help with that. Or you can go on Monday to independentscience.com, and they're going to have office hours. We'll have office hours available. But I would like to talk with you later, Denise, about working with the agency to see if we can get Lab Quests into Illinois.
Thank you very much, Michael. And yes, we will definitely talk about getting our state agency involved with your project. I do want to thank you for coming by. And you'll be happy to know I've been told that six of our people did visit the Independent Science Zoom room last night. So we appreciate you being available. Also, advertising it on your Twitter chat. I know we advertised it on our end. So we know that we do have students who are interested in the science field. We have a couple of scholarship finalists here who are interested in engineering, one industrial engineering, and another one is interested in civil engineering. So we know that there's an interest, and it's good to know that you're there.
Well, one of the things that I will say is, if anyone wants to know more about the Lab Quest and actually get a demonstration of it, we can do that. I will set up a Zoom meeting with anyone or any group of you at any time, and we can do some really neat science experiments. I don't have a lightning rod stuck up, so we can't make a Frankenstein's monster, which would be wonderful if we could, because I'd love to yell, "It's alive!" I've seen that movie. But I would be glad to give anyone a demonstration of the Talking Lab Quest and talk to you about all the different aspects of it. So please reach out, mike@michaelhingson.com. And you can also reach me at mhingson@independentscience.com, but my other email address is probably best.
Okay, that's great. And we're not really using our chat because it interferes with the voiceover. But anything that you would care to email me, I would be happy to share it with people that I know are interested. We do have to move on to our next set of speakers, because we know that we are running behind at this point. And so
4 minutes,
I am,
and I will
yeah,
leave.
You're good.
I'll mute.
All right. Thank you.